Welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio mobile version, as it's been for almost a year now. Oh, my goodness. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter, alongside my partner, the voice of the Texans, Mark VanMeer. Mark, good afternoon. Good evening. How are you, my friend?
Johnny, afternoon is starting to creep into the evening with the daylight saving situation, so that's nice. You know, we get a little more daylight here, and after last week, I don't even remember last week. I mean, now it's just gorgeous out temperature-wise, so that's great. I know plenty of effort still underway to help people in need, and HoustonTexans.com has all the stories about the players, the organization, Cal and Hannah, Janice, everything they're doing to help Houston, and it's awesome to read about it there.
Yeah, no doubt. And Mark, I want to start with that. We're going to have our position breakdown in construction as all these position groups are. We'll have that in just a second. And then we're going to play yes or no at the end of the show. And then we're going to have the ultimate draft part two right in the middle of the show. But I want to start with this because you brought it up. This is really cool. The four teams in the AFC South came together and gave $100,000 each, which I just think is, I mean, phenomenal to think about, obviously, with everything that went on last week here in Houston with the winter storm. I think it's, was it called Zuri or Yuri or whatever it was? Either way, I call it Snowpocalypse 2021. But the Jaguars, Colts, and Titans are supporting the Texans with a joint donation of $100,000 to the Houston / Harris County 2021 Winter Storm Relief Fund. And the NFL Foundation will match the donation, bringing the total donation amount to $200,000. Mark, that's pretty cool stuff, my friend. I know we have great sports hate for the teams in our division, but this is really cool to put that aside and band together as one group. That was pretty cool to see.
Well, you know, Johnny, I have mixed feelings because this reminds me of when we went to visit Dallas right after Hurricane Harvey hit, and the Cowboys they took such great care of us. And it really made me mad because I hate the Cowboys and you're making me like you now. So these division teams helping out with this Houston Harris County Winter Storm Relief Fund, they're making me like them more. Now, in all seriousness, it's awesome to band together like this. And you know how I feel. I feel like this division does not get enough credit anyway for what they do on the field. And now they're going to get more credit, the division, for what we're doing off the field. And I think that's great. And the NFL chimes in as well. I think it's terrific. I've always felt the AFC South is underplayed now. We need Super Bowls out of this division. Not that I'm rooting for those other teams to get Super Bowls. I want them. It's not like a college conference. Even at a college conference, Johnny, you know, it's funny because these are your rivals. But in the NCAA tournament, if a conference team goes all the way, the farther they go in the NCAA tournament, the more money the conference gets, right? Yeah. And obviously it's good for your league if a team does well. So you kind of pull for them to a degree, I guess. But in the NFL, it's very different. Anyway, it's good to see the AFC South band together. You and I know so many guys, so many people who work for these different teams. And it's wonderful to see everybody pull together like this.
Yeah, very, very cool. All right, let's jump into our position group of the day that we have been breaking down pretty much one a day. I think we've done it for the last three or four days. We did wide receivers. We did D-line. And now we go to one that becomes polarizing, depending on how you look at it. The Texans have sunk a lot of resources into the offensive line. They gave up, we all know, a couple of first-rounders for Laremy Tunsil, a first-rounder they used to draft Titus Howard, a second-rounder to draft Max Sharping, a second-rounder back in 2016 to draft Nick Martin. They put free agent money into guys like Sunil Calamete, no longer with the team, but they did that, and Zach Fulton, they put free agent money in that same year they went out and got Sunil. They've put a lot of resources in this, and they also had a fourth-round pick in Charlie Heck, who had to step up and play the last two games. I think it was the last two games he had to play. And fared okay. He didn't do much until those last few games. They had to step in and did some decent things. But, Mark, this group, to me, has got to take a massive – it's almost like that – year one to year two leap. It's like that, but these guys have been around for a while. I mean, Laremy's been there since 2016. Nick since 2016. You've got veterans up there now. This will be Max Sharping's third year. You know, even a guy like Rod Johnson, even though he's a even though he's a free agent, trying to figure out what's going on with him. He's a guy that's been around now in Houston for 3 years. Mark, to me, if there's any group that's got to take that massive next step, I think it's this group with the offensive line.
Well, Johnny, you know, when I look at Watson and the ability to lead the league in passing and cut down on the sacks dramatically and obviously not throw many picks, I mean, it's all credit, not all credit, but a lot of credit, obviously, to the quarterback himself. Yep. And you have to give a piece of it to the O-line. Now, Watson is still able to get out of trouble. You know, sometimes, you know, I've heard people criticize, does he hold the ball too much? Still, I hear some of that. But look, Watson's fine, right? Watson is fine. But this line, you know, they were the starting line, the starting five, and then I know they made changes along the way for a team that did lead the league in passing. So you like that. What you don't like is the inability to run the football. And they were able to do it a little bit better or a lot better later in the year. And you can speak better to this than I can about zone blocking and the zone scheme and the cutbacks and all that. David Johnson looked a lot better when they sort of committed more to that way of doing things than what they were doing earlier in the season. So I'm really wondering what the style is going to be here. How are they going to play? But when I look at the tackle spots, when I look at Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil, and then Charlie Heck as a backup with Rod Johnson as unrestricted free agent, I feel pretty good at tackle right now. I feel like it's not a panic situation. It better not be a tackle after you invest a first-round draft choice and then the two ones in the Laremy plus the two in the Kenny Stills deal. We don't have to recap all that. So you feel good about tackle with Heck as a little bit of an insurance policy, but you need more insurance because look who you were putting out there late in the season. You had Heck and Rod Johnson out there as your starters, and you still fared well. I mean, you could have won that last game against the Tennessee Titans, but – Nick Martin, okay, center, fine. You sign him to that deal. And then you look at the guard situation. They already let go of Sunil. How's Sharpen going to be? Because they were alternating him. Do they feel good about him? Is he really going to be able to take that step? And Fulton as well. Where does he fit in with his contract? You never know what they're thinking here cap-wise. So in the interior, you definitely have some work to do, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely right. I think the interior is going to see some changes. And I'd like to see Max get that confidence back and start to play as he did as a rookie. And I know a lot of people say, you know, you take that first year to second year jump. Max, he didn't make that jump as everybody expected, and he struggled a little bit. And then he lost his confidence. And to me, Max is a guy not unlike a lot of guys throughout the league and in a lot of sports and a lot of businesses. Man, your confidence gets shot and forget it. And then – you can't play your way through it because other guys are stepping in front of you. But I think if Max steps back and just cleans some things up, just gets his confidence back, I think Max will be more than fine at guard. But they've got to figure out, Mark, a way, and this goes to your point about zone blocking versus, you know, some gap scheme, power schemes, you know, type of stuff. I even said it. You know, with a guy like David Johnson, they were better served running zone game stuff because David was a zone game runner. He had vision for being a zone runner. Not really much else, but he was really good in the zone game. And we started seeing that at the end of the year, like, wow, when they're running some zone stuff, he's pretty good. What I also realized was that's what this offensive line was too. It was a pretty good zone blocking line when it was all together. And doing what it needed to do. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. But I do think on the interior, I do think you've got to find somebody that just comes in and can power somebody off the ball when you need to and just drive somebody off the ball. And I do think that this draft has a few guys that are like that. I wonder if they will take a look at some free agents. There's one in New England that would make a lot of sense for this offensive line. And I might ask you about that later in yes or no. I don't, he's going to be pretty, it's going to be expensive. But Joe Tooney from the New England Patriots is one of the best guards in the league. And Nick Caserio knows him very, very well. And that's a guy that you plop him in and man, you feel really good now about what you would have in the offensive line. It would be expensive. And again, goes back to that point of, you got a lot of resources tied up in this offensive line, money, draft picks, et cetera. Can you afford to do something like that? Or do you need to try and find a rookie or a young guy that could step into that role or step into a role at guard if Zach doesn't come back, if the contract's reconstructed, whatever they do, do they need to look for somebody in that role? They've got to find somebody that can consistently knock somebody off the ball, whether it's zone game, whether it's power, whether it's some gap scheme stuff. They've got to find somebody to just knock somebody off the ball, Mark. And that I don't think they've had on the interior in a while. I think you'd have to go back to, man, Chester, I guess. Maybe that's a while. Oh, Brandon Brooks. Brandon Brooks was that kind of guy. I mean, he was just – he could do a little bit of everything for you, and I think he's shown that in his career. But it's probably those guys you go back to the last time you really kind of had somebody that you could knock – you know, hey, this guy's going to knock somebody off the ball. You know, let's run some power stuff behind him. And we just haven't had that lately.
Well, you mentioned Sharping, and, you know, I mentioned him too. And that I think that's a key – developmental player right there. Like, where is he at from year 2 to 3?
Yep.
Didn't go as well as he wanted from year 1 to 2. So that's key, because you drafted him in the second round, right?
Yep.
You made the investment in him. Now, I know it's a new regime and you look at things differently right now, perhaps, but that's what Nick Caserio's got to figure out. Johnny, on his whiteboard, he's got to figure out those things. If I spend X on a free agent offensive lineman, I have that much less to spend on Y, who's a wide receiver, who's becoming a free agent, and how does that all play together? He's got to work those pieces together. It's a puzzle, and it's got to be difficult to put together. The other thing about Nick is, and I heard Sean and Seth talking about this, and it makes sense. You look at former Patriots out there who might be available, right? Because they know them so well. And certainly that's a factor. We've seen it so many times in this league. You look for former people in the division often, but Caserio hasn't been in this division. He's been in the AFC East. I would look for former AFC East players, all right, or players who are becoming free agents on any one of those teams, because you tend to sign people within your division. Well, that's his division that he has more familiarity with than anybody else, because that's who he's been facing for the last 2 decades. And the other thing is this. Maybe there are players out there that he's always loved, but Belichick didn't want to touch them for whatever reason.
Right.
Belichick isn't always right. We've seen that so many times. Maybe there's several players out there that Caserio would love to get his hands on, but he couldn't do it in New England. But now he can make that decision. I want player X because I've always wanted him. Let's bring him over. So there are a lot of different elements here, and we're going to analyze every move they make. We're going to overanalyze every move they make, of course, but that's just what we do here. So I'm eager to see what they put together. I mean, they've done some minor things so far. It's kind of like calm before the storm, setting the table for what's about to happen March 17th.
Yeah, no doubt. The start of the new league year. Now, Mark, I will tell you that I added a Patriot in me and Drew's ultimate draft in this segment of 8 picks. I added a Patriot to my team. We can draft one player from one organization. I drafted my Patriot in this segment you're about to hear. Who do you think? I'll give you one guess as to who I drafted. It was an offensive player.
Not the quarterback?
Not the quarterback.
If you drafted one of all-time Patriots.
All-time Patriots.
You drafted John Hanna.
Good guess, but you're wrong. Who did I draft? Oh. We'll do that next right here on Texans All Access. Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Mobile Studio. Right here at the crib, I'm your host, John Harris, Football Analyst, Sideline Reporter. We'll get back to Mark in just a little bit, but it is Wednesday night, so that means it's Wednesday night draft time. And Drew Doherty and I have been putting together our ultimate draft, the ultimate draft. 32 teams, 32 players, one pick from each team. And there are a lot of different levels to consider in this actual draft. And we both have spent a bunch of time going over this. And this was part two. Part one, we made our first 8 picks. I went offensive line. I filled out my entire offensive line. And I went with younger franchises. I went with Jags, Tony Boselli, went with us, J.J. Watt. I went with the Panthers, Luke Kuechly. So I went with younger franchises to make sure that I got the best player possible from the younger franchises, because obviously you do the math. There aren't as many players because you haven't played as much. So I wanted to go offensive line, younger franchises. This one I tried to find And I think Drew did the same thing. Franchises where there weren't as many players. And I sort of get caught because Drew beats me to the punch on one particular pick. You'll hear that pick. And let's just say that Drew is flying to a particular island to make that pick. And I am completely envious of that. But it's round two of our ultimate draft. And Drew's got the first pick.
This is tough because I thought about franchises. I thought about what I need. And it came down to going from either the Raiders, the Cardinals, or the Jets, because I think there's pretty big drop-offs after the top one of each.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Raiders, though, because I think one of the greatest guards of all time is somebody that I need. Because I took Bruce Matthews, and he might play guard, he might play center, but he gives me flexibility. But I want to make sure that I stay stout up front. And maybe the greatest Raider of all time, maybe, some people have him as the greatest Raider of all time, is Gene Upshaw. The offensive lineman, the guard, you know, so many all-pro teams that he made. He's, you know, more famous to younger fans now as being the recent head of – he's basically before DeMar Smith, head of the NFL Players Union. But I'm going to go with him because he was a phenomenal, phenomenal player. I'm taking Gene Upshaw. I'm bolstering my offensive line.
You know, I really would like to continue the offensive line thought. And as you said – potentially the best guard of all time. I'm like, oh man, I've got my offensive line filled out, and I feel pretty good about that. One place I have not dabbled, if you will, is in any of the skill positions.
Yep.
Or I should say ball carriers and perimeter positions.
The skillsiest guy you took was Luke Kuechly, and he's a linebacker.
Yeah, now he's fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
You were trenches the rest of the way.
I did. I went trenches. But I'm going to go out wide. And I've already taken from the Vikings, so I cannot take Randy Moss of the Vikings. However, I am going to take Randy Moss, who I think in 2007 strung together one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season a receiver's ever had. He's the Freak. That was his nickname. I will take the Patriots off the board, so no Tom Brady for me. But I am taking Patriots wide receiver Randy Moss.
Interesting pick, because that means I have a choice of Brady later, Gronkowski later, and a name that not a lot of people think about, but it was at my disposal no matter what, because you've used up all your offensive linemen. You could use him as a swing guy. Now you can't. John Hanna. Some say he's the greatest guard ever.
I know. And so that leaves him on the board for you. At that point, you have options. But I was circling Randy Moss in the beginning, but either way, I was going to come up with Randy Moss. So I came up with Randall McDaniel and Randy Moss, or I could have had John Hanna and Vikings Randy Moss. And I feel okay either way with that, although John Hanna is pretty darn good. So I have a feeling that's where you might go, but feel good about Patriots Randy Moss for sure.
I was going to go with Vikings Randy Moss. So you've kind of made this easier, but you've kind of made this harder in a way. So that's all right.
Yeah.
The Jets, that's a tricky team.
Oh, that's hard.
I love Joe Namath, but I don't want Joe Namath as my quarterback.
No.
You know, like, he's the greatest Jet ever. I don't want him as my quarterback. No offense, Joe, but I got better choices. And then you've got Mark Gastineau and you got Joe Klecko, and they're really, really good players, but I've got a lot of other elite defensive linemen that I can go with. Mm-hmm. So, I got to guard Randy Moss. I got a guy on Sanders, but you're gonna have another good wide receiver out there. So I'm taking Darrell Revis, and I'm taking Revis Island off the board for you.
Wow.
So I'm gonna go with Darrell Revis from the Jets as my Jet on my roster. Now I've got two shutdown corners. And
the corners are stupid good, man.
We're not going to make a bunch of tackles for loss. You're not going to use them on corner blitzes so much, but I don't care because I think my pass rush is going to be pretty darn good with the guys I got. So I'm taking Revis Island off the board, John.
Yeah, your pass rush is going to be good, but you have arguably the two best man-to-man cover guys that have ever played the game.
And I'm going to add a third later.
But when Randy Moss went up against Darrell Revis, Randy Moss embarrassed him.
Well, we'll put Sanders on him.
he got options. Yeah, you don't go from Darrell Revis to like Buster Screen. You go from Darrell Revis to Deion Sanders. All right, Drew, you mentioned earlier there are some teams to consider as it pertains to players that there aren't too many. The Jets, one of them. The Darrell Revis find is absolutely phenomenal. And I give you a lot of credit for that. That was a great one. The Cardinals, to me, are a team that kind of fits into the same category.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
I'm going to take a guy that probably not a lot of people have heard about, but he was one of my idols growing up in some sense because he once played a game with two broken hands and actually had an interception in that game, and he invented the safety blitz.
Damn it.
For the Cardinals, and this was when they were in St. Louis, but it was the Cardinals, I am taking safety Larry Wilson.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going to say my guy. So that's good.
Really?
Yeah.
You're thinking it was going to be somebody else who played with two broken hands in a game for the Cardinals?
He might have. I don't know that he did, but it wouldn't have surprised me because he's an all-timer. So.
All right. I'm going with Larry Wilson, Hall of Fame safety for the St. Louis, Arizona, Chicago Cardinals.
Larry Wilson.
It won't resonate too much with the younger folk, but he was Troy Polamalu before Troy Polamalu. How about that?
Yeah. He could have also gone with Dan Dierdorf. Great right tackle.
My offensive line was already good. I thought about it. Yep.
Already set. Yep. Or you could have gone with my guy who – played with the Cardinals in Chicago, but I'm going to talk about that later. So we'll go down that route in a bit. Boy, you're making it tough. I don't have any linebackers yet. And I have to have one of these two guys. It's a non-negotiable, but I'm going to go with the greatest Raven ever. I'm going to go with Ray Lewis. It's going to leave you with lots of options. You have two like lead pipe cinches you could take elsewhere. Even though your offensive line is set, you got a guy. And then you got another guy. But I need a linebacker. And I'm going to go with Ray Lewis.
That does leave a lot open, to say the least. That's a good one. All right. My thought process the other day was I wanted to, as much as I possibly could, go with the younger franchises. And for a long time, while we were growing up, there weren't too many new franchises until the Jaguars and the Panthers. Well, I got players from both of them, and I got my Texans. So I think I've got the youngest team. The next youngest team actually came in a pair. You got one of those, the Seahawks. The other is the Buccaneers.
This is tough.
And when you mentioned linebacker, I jumped all over a guy. This is the guy that I had top of my list for this team because, yes, there's a guy that I could go with on the interior line. I didn't want to do actually two that you could have gone with the Bucs and you would have been okay. But to me, I think one of the greatest and most underrated linebackers of all time I'm going to take right here. And that's Derrick Brooks.
Okay.
Nobody ran with Michael Vick. But the Buccaneers beat Vick all the time because Derrick Brooks could run with him. With the Buccaneers, I'm taking Derrick Brooks. He was one of my top picks, and I wanted to make sure that I got him. So I'm jumping right here at Derrick Brooks. Linebacker, put him next to Kuechly. We can fly to the football. But I'm taking Kuechly and Brooks.
All right. Boy, now it's getting tough because we've eliminated a lot of these franchises.
Yes. This is where you stare at your board and you're like, okay, I had a philosophy going in. I'm going to stick to my philosophy. What am I going with?
I got to do it. He was my favorite player when I was a little kid. And good. Jim Brown loves this guy. Because of who you've chosen, I've got lots of flexibility at the back part, but I want to make sure that he's off the board. And I'm choosing Sweetness. Walter Payton of the Bears. It came down to him. It was either him or Dick Butkus. I had to have Ray Lewis or Dick Butkus. And I want to make sure I got Walter Payton because he can do so many different things. He's a great running back.
He can be your punter. He can be your punter, quarterback, wildcat quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do anything. Yeah.
I love him too much. You know, I want to make sure he's my guy. He's on my team. He was the all-time NFL rushing leader. He will always be. I have the two all-time NFL rushing leaders. Whatever, Emmett Smith. Who cares? You're not in their league. So.
Yeah. All right. That's Wow, that's a good one. I'll tip my cap that one, because now you have Jim Brown and Walter Payton in your backfield. That's pretty solid. There's no question about that. Okay. You know, you took Ray Lewis, which leaves the Ravens for me, and there's a lot of different ways I could go here. Jonathan Ogden, I loved. I was a huge fan of Jonathan Ogden, but I've got my offensive line right now. But Larry Wilson was a ball hawk, but he was also a guy who could blitz. You could play around the box. The best ball hawk is a guy, I'm going to just go ahead and do it now. Even though I could probably go a few other teams if I looked at it, teams that we haven't selected from, but I feel good at safety enough that I will go with, let me be clear, Ravens Hall of Famer Ed Reed.
It's a good choice. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
So you've got Ed Reed, and we've made four selections each today. So we're halfway through this draft. Now it's getting really serious, because neither of us has chosen a Bill, a Steeler, a Colt, a Bronco, a Charger, a Chief, a Redskin, a Saint, or a 49er. I almost said a Buccaneer, but you took the Buccaneer off the board.
Yeah.
Who is someone that I must have that there's just no way that – this is tough. Like right now, this is – because you've got so many options with the 49ers, mm-hmm. with the Steelers, and with the Redskins to a degree, but especially the Steelers and the 49ers.
Mm. Oh, I know exactly where I'm going with my next pick.
Do you?
But it's your pick, so I can't do it, but I know exactly where I'm going to go. I can put this card in 2 seconds when you're done.
All right, I'll get my kicker, Saints. Morton Anderson.
All right. There are a lot of Hall of Fame players that came out of the late 80s, early 90s Bills. I'm going to take the best one. I'm going to take Bruce Smith and pair him with J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald.
Damn. Good one.
That takes Thurman Thomas off the board. I was a huge Thurman fan. So, I take Bruce Smith. So the Bills come off the board, leaving me one pick in that division from the Jets. I'm going to have to do some studying on the Jets, man. I got to try and find somebody that – that might be a spot for a punter or a kicker. I don't know. I'm going to have to think that one through. We got 3 picks left. Is that right? 3 picks left in this episode. Here we go.
All right, Steelers. Golly, this is so hard for me. I'd go Rod Woodson because I want a ball hawk.
Ooh, yeah.
Play lots of position. But I got a couple other guys that I'm going to put in the secondary mm-hmm. that I know of that you've already chosen from other teams. So it comes down to getting the greatest center ever, Mike Webster, or Mean Joe Green. I got to get after the quarterback. I'm going Mean Joe Green.
Ooh, dang it. I was hoping you were going to talk yourself into Mike Webster.
Nope.
I really wanted you to do that.
So you're up.
All right. Well, I've got to find somebody that can cover. And even though there's a long, rich history for the Washington football team, I've been kind of gone back and forth about what I – man, and I got on my offensive lineman. And so I'm like, then it hit me. Oh, man. I'm going with the very last pick in the 1983 first round, and he will be my lockdown corner. I'm going to go with Darryl Green from the Washington football team.
Solid. From the great state of Texas.
Yep. That is right. I was struggling with what I was going to do with Washington. I had a few options, but I didn't love them. And then I thought, man, I need some cover guys. And I thought, oh, man. And then it hit me, so I'll take Darryl Green. So I know I can run. That I can do. And hopefully I'll be able to cover. But, yeah, I can run.
I love Joe Montana.
Uh-oh. Are you dipping into the quarterbacks? We have not gone to the quarterbacks.
I love Joe Montana, but I got to get Ronnie Lott off the stest.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
That is absolutely insanely massive. Okay. So you – that yeah, that's good. So you took 49ers – Ronnie Lott, right?
Yes, I did.
Boy, that leaves some really good 49ers on the board for me. And it makes me think, do I want to add Jerry Rice from the 49ers and put him with Randy Moss? Hell yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going. I'm following you, but I'm like, you know, I could really wait if I wanted to. But I'll take arguably the 2 best receivers of all time. I'll take Randy Moss, Patriots, Jerry Rice, 49ers. That's my selection. There we go.
All right, my final pick, huh?
Last one. All right.
We've got a Colt, a Bronco, a Charger, and a Chief, as well as a bunch of others, but nobody's chosen any of them. What do I want to do here? I'm going to leave things open. They've all got, aside from the Chargers, I love Dan Fouts, but he's not a quarterback that you can really entrust this team to.
No.
And I'm going to wait on my quarterback. You know, I don't have a tight end yet. I'm going to get Travis Kelce from the Chiefs. I'm just going to go ahead and over Tony Gonzalez, over Kellen Winslow. I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
Over Ozzie Newsome.
Well, I already took
You have a Brown. You have Jim Brown. Jim Brown,
yeah.
So, yeah, you're good. All right, kind of look at best available on my boards. This is the Mr. Irrelevant pick of day two as I sort of look at this. And I know when you hear this name come out of my mouth, you're going to go, wait, hold on. But I don't want to draft a punter, and I definitely don't want to draft a kicker. And I'm in the business of drafting former MVPs of the league. And you know how I like versatility. I like guys that can play a lot of different positions.
Yeah.
He won the 1956 Heisman Trophy at Notre Dame playing quarterback. He came to the league and played running back. He was the MVP of the league in 62. He also kicked extra points and field goals from the Packers. I am taking Paul Hornung because I know I can do a lot of different things with him. And
Heisman Trophy winner on a losing Notre Dame team.
Only one to ever win from a losing team, and he will be the only one to win from a losing team. But that satisfies both my kicking aspect. I can't have him punt, but I don't have to draft a kicker now. And so I can have Paul Hornung kick. He catches. He runs. He can even throw. He's my Wildcat quarterback. He's everything. I'm going with Paul Hornung as my Packer.
Good choice. Okay, so to recap, I started things off today. I went with Gene Upshaw, left guard from the Raiders. You countered with Randy Moss of the Patriots. So you took Moss off the board. You also took a Patriot off the board, and you opened it up for me to choose either Brady, Gronkowski, Hannah, or a wild card, which I'm not going to do. Okay. Then I chose Darrell Revis of the Jets at corner. You went with Larry Wilson, the Cardinals safety. Then I went with Ray Lewis, linebacker of the Ravens. You went a linebacker. You went to the Buccaneers, Derek Brooks. Mm-hmm. Probably the greatest Buccaneer ever. He or Warren Sapp.
Arguably, yeah.
Yeah. Walter Payton, I had to have sweetness on my team. I make no apologies for it. You went with Ed Reed of the Ravens, safety. I got my kicker out of the way with Morton Anderson from the Saints. And then you went with Bruce Smith, which was an oversight. That's who I should have gone with. That was kind of a dumb move by me. I rebounded, though. I got Mean Joe Green from the Steelers on the interior of the defensive line.
That's your steel pick.
You went with Daryl Green, corner, one of the fastest men ever from the Washington football team. I chose a safety in Ronnie Lott, and that left Jerry Rice open. So the 49ers are off the board. And then I wrap things up with, it's probably a controversial pick, Travis Kelce, tight end of the Chiefs. There's a lot of great Chiefs, and I'm picking that guy. Well, it's sort of what my team needs and what I want. And then you went with Paul Hornung, a guy who could do it all from the Packers. He's going to make plays for your team. And by the way,
I don't argue with your Kelce pick at all. I have no qualms with it. There's some good Chiefs, and there might even be, some might think, a more decorated Chiefs tight end in Tony Gonzalez, but I'd take Kelce all day, every day. I think he is one of the more underrated great players ever.
Yeah, matchup-wise, he's going to be a problem with the two guys I got in the backfield and then Calvin Johnson out there on the edge, plus some of the guys I'm going to add later.
Yes, that is Drew cackling, believing that he has got the better squad. He's got one great pick in Darrell Revis, but I've got the better squad. I mean, my receivers are Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, and my offensive line is outstanding, led by Anthony Munoz, number one overall pick. We've got 16 picks left, two different episodes. You don't want to miss it. I already know 11 of my 16 final picks because they're coming from teams that Drew has already picked, so it's leaving me everybody at my disposal. So I've looked at who I have, where I need to go, and I got it all set, ready to go. You don't want to miss that. You also don't want to miss the next segment. Mark Vandermeer and I play a little free agent yes or no. That's next on Texans All Access. One final segment of Texans All Access on this wonderful Wednesday evening. I'm your host, John Harris, alongside the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, and Mark, it was Randy Moss. That's who I picked from the Patriots for my squad. What do you think?
All right, great player to pick, Johnny. Okay. But it's funny because I don't even look at him as a Patriot. I look at him as more of a Viking than a Patriot, but I know he played with the Patriots and they went 16-0 and they could have gone 19-0 and they didn't, and I know the rest of the story. I'll give you another great offensive wide receiver for the Patriots who wouldn't be a bad player to pick at all. In fact, I still think he leads in almost every receiving category, almost, that they have all time in their franchise. As great as they've been lately, and by lately, I mean the last two decades, yep. Stanley Morgan still dominates their record book in a way that is freaky. The numbers hold up today. He was such an outstanding receiver, and Steve Grogan threw him passes, Tony Eason, even Doug Flutie a little bit. He was a great receiver.
Now, Drew has not drafted his Patriot yet. So he could draft Tom Brady. Neither one of us have a quarterback yet.
Holding out.
Yeah, we got work to do, but man, it's getting tight. That draft has been really fun. All right, are you ready for a little yes or no? I throw a topic or a question at you. You say yes or no. You can back it up. You can just say yes or no. You can explain. Okay. It's up to you. This one is called Free Agent Friday on a Wednesday. I don't know. I thought about alliteration and realized it was Wednesday, not Friday. I'm going to throw at you some free agents, and you tell me whether yes for the Texans, no for the Texans, and your reasoning for that particular decision. All right, here we go. Arguably the number one free agent wide receiver, Allen Robinson II, yes or no?
Well, you and I talked about this the other day. I think the question is, can you afford him and Fuller? You know, so I have to have a little asterisk there. If I don't have Fuller back, I need another player along with Cooks and Cobb, and I don't know what's going to happen with either of those guys with the contract situations being what they are and all that, but here we are in February still making these assessments. I would say, Johnny, I know I eliminated the maybe from this thing, but that's amazing. Depending on
that was
Fuller.
Your rule. Okay, so let's say
I really want Watson and Fuller to play together.
Okay, all right, I understand. All right, ooh, this would be a good one. Linebacker, Lavonte David, yes or no? And the prediction from what I'm looking at is PFF, they say Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the contract they say is 3 years, $40 million. Lavonte David, now he's a little longer in the tooth than some others. But man, Lavonte David in the 4-3 with Zach Cunningham could be really fun. Lavonte David, yes or no?
No, because I can't afford that. I'm already paying Cunningham and McKinney, and I don't know what to do about this situation going into a potential 4-3. And again, the Texans haven't said anything, but we're just sort of figuring out what they're going to do with Lovey coming in and all of that. So I just don't think that that's a player you can afford to have. I love him. He's a great player. But, no, I got to work it out here. You know, certainly Cunningham's going to be here. We'll see how they put it together. But if I'm going to spend that kind of money, I got to reserve it for the guys behind the linebacking crew.
Okay. Let's go to the offensive line. A guy we just mentioned on the first segment. Guard Joe Tooney. Played for the Patriots. Was franchise maybe last year. He is an unrestricted free agent. PFF says their projection is 4 years, $57 million contract, $35 million guaranteed. It's a lot for a guard. However, he's one of the top two or three in the league. Joe Tooney, a Texan, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes. And I know it's relatively expensive, and you already have a lot invested there, but you'd have to make some moves, clearly, to accommodate him financially and otherwise. So assuming those could get done, of course I'd want a player like Joe Tooney on the Houston Texans. Yes. He's only 28 years old.
I know. And I think he's still got some really good football. All right. This one brings back a University Houston Cougar homeboy. Mm. And you mentioned it. Cornerback William Jackson III. Projection for a contract is 3 years, $40 million. I think that's roughly about what Roby makes. William Jackson III, corner for the Texans, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes. I'm spending money like it's going out of style here,
yes,
Johnny.
That's what you do.
I've got to make some substantial investments on this football team, and this is one of them, all right?
Yeah.
This is a play. You bring him in. Roby's still under contract, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you don't know what they're going to do, how it's playing out. It's February. I have to always disclaimer this stuff when we talk about players on the roster right now before the league year begins. But my answer to that question would be yes. I'll take you up on that. I think the money's good. I think he's a young player. He's not even 30 yet, so let's go.
All right. This next player is probably no bigger than Vander Kidd number one. But I have said that I think he is the best at a particular position in the NFL. PFF has projected his contract to be just 3 years at $12 million. And he actually made a massive play against us, and he's made many in the two times that we've seen him. Yes or no, cornerback slash nickel, Mike Hilton of the Pittsburgh Steelers as a Texan.
Ooh, I like him a lot. Wait, what's the projected contract, though?
3 years, $12 million.
That's it?
That's it. Mark, if that's the case, I do that in a quick second. I don't even wait. I'm like, yes. I'm hitting that yes button all day long on Mike Hilton.
Well, I think he's also – he's one of those guys that you want playing with the other guys and elevating their play, right?
Yes.
He rubs off on other people, his energy, his intensity. He's impossible not to notice out there. It's funny how sometimes those smaller guys are the ones who are impossible not to notice. I mean,
yeah.
Flying all around. He's got that Tasmanian devil ability to just be in multiple places during the same play. I love him, and yes, I'll take you up on that. So I know I've just spent my whole budget, but, you know,
okay.
These I'm taking one at a time here.
Yes.
Like, but I still think that my yeses, I could afford all my yeses with certain moves and still stay under the cap. How about that?
Okay. I'm going to ask you, we'll end on this one.
All right.
I can't remember if you've seen this guy play. Maybe you've seen him play. So I don't know. Jadeveon Clowney, projection – 1 year, $13 million, fully guaranteed. It's almost like you're franchising him at a much lower number. Yes or no?
Look. Could you imagine if they did this? Well, look, Johnny doesn't stay healthy, okay?
Right.
And I know that he's kind of a folk hero now in Houston.
Yes.
I think people liked him better out the door than they liked him when they were here. When I say people, I mean some of the fans and media.
Yes.
When he was here, it was always like, you're not doing enough.
Yes.
And then when he goes, how could you let him go? You
right.
know, it just – it doesn't make any sense. But I don't think they would do it. And I think that the injury issues, and it's just nagging stuff that keeps him off the field. When he's out there, I love him. When he's not, obviously he's not helping you. And – you know, that kind of money for him might not be crazy. It's not crazy, but I don't think you could afford that luxury right now. You need building blocks right now. You got to build strong with guys who are going to be out there. That's kind of a luxury purchase for a team that's close, right?
Yeah.
That's how I look at a Jadeveon Clowney right now. And I love him. I think, look, I'll never forget the play against Oakland in the playoffs and, you know, the other plays he made, the strip of Andrew Luck up in 2016 up there. I mean, he's been a definite key contributor to this franchise, but I got to pass on this one.
I think you're probably right about that. The injury issue is bigger than we think. And he's now, he even spent the end of last year going through an injury issue. So very well done, Mark. You spent a lot of good money. I'm very happy with how you went about it. And I appreciate your time tonight, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right, that's going to do it. Big thanks to Mark, to Drew, to all of you for listening. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. And as always, go Texans.